to 2013-14 family living class. We hope to continue as we've been doing. I thought about maybe doing some teaching subject, but a number of you have come to me and said, please keep on going with family living issues. So I'll be doing that. And my first substitute teacher is Dr. Barrett, and he'll be doing some biblical things with you as well. And I believe he's taking four classes this fall up through December. And Reverend Kelderman, I believe, is taking one, and I think Reverend Elsau one. So we'll keep going that way, and I'll keep doing different family issues. We've done 129 so far, so there's been, I think, 45 of those were on marriage, and the last, 83 or 4 have been on parenting. So there's also the possibility of going back to a few of the very foundational ones I did 8 or 9 years ago, which several of you weren't here. I'll consider that as well. A few of you asked for that also. But I'd like to begin this year by looking at a thing I'm calling family church commitment. And I want to look at why church membership is important, why a devoted spirit to the local church is important, and how you can teach your children, foster in your children, this sense of bonding with the local church. Now, we all know, of course, that the main thing is that we belong to the invisible church by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to be dealing with that in this subject. That, of course, is for sermons and other occasions. But we're going to be looking at this morning and next time, which will be a few weeks away because we have Lord's Supper and so on, but the importance of being faithful members of the church, and then the responsibilities of church membership. And I'm hoping that as I teach these things, you will not only as adults have a better grasp of it, and the young people who are present here, it's great for you to hear that, even as you're attending Confession of Faith class this year, or hope to soon, but also that you'll take this teaching home and it'll help you teach your children. Because today, we're in a day, as you well know, in which the idea of commitment and responsibility and dedication, these are negative words almost today, when historically, of course, they've been very positive words. And one of the things we need to fight against in our contemporary culture is that our young people would really understand that when you get privileges from something like a church, great privileges, you owe something back. Responsibility, duty, commitment, bonding. And so that's the kind of thing we want to look at, and we're going to look at that from a scriptural perspective. I'll just be able to get started this morning. Probably the outline I gave you will take three full weeks to cover, I should think, or even four. So let's turn first then to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. I'll just read those verses this morning. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pray. Great God of heaven, we commend this year's classes to Thee. We thank Thee so much for them. We pray that this wonderful opportunity we have to speak to adults for a few moments and also some young people and a few children here, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless this class and that we might be bonded together in the local church to the calling of what a church ought to be. Help us to understand this scripturally, perhaps to hear for the very first time in our lives all the scriptural reasons why a local church is important. So give us insight, Lord, and appreciation, and help us to live our lives according to Thy word. We pray for those who will also fill in for me when I'm not here. We ask, Lord, that Thou will be with them, and especially Dr. Barrett. Bless the classes that he will give and make everything well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the first thing we want to look at then is the importance of being faithful members in a local church. Today, as you know, there are many churches, also in Grand Rapids, who have just abandoned the whole concept of church membership. People come to church, there's no responsibility, there's no accountability. You think of the large Mars Hill Church in this area. I've asked several people that have gone there. I said, well, how many members do you have in their church? And they always say, well, we have no clue. We don't have membership. People just come and go as you feel like it. Is that scriptural? I'm going to argue with you today and in future sessions. This is very unscriptural. And yet if someone from Mars Hill came up to you today and said, why do you believe in church membership? Could you tell them? We've done it. And 99% of Christian churches did it all throughout church history. But why? Why do we bind ourselves to a local church? Well, I'm going to give you seven reasons. Reason number one, we bind ourselves to a particular church because of the example of Christ. Christ showed his intimate care for local churches. Remember Revelation 1, 13 and 20? We saw that some weeks ago or some months ago in church. He's pictured as standing and walking among the golden candlesticks of local churches. And then he writes letters to who? Seven local churches. To the church of Smyrna, to the church of Philadelphia, to the church of Ephesus. You see, the meticulous directions that Christ gives to these local churches in these two chapters, Revelation 2 and 3, is a simple biblical illustration of his love and his care for local churches. To love someone dearly involves loving the things that they love. And so to love Christ involves loving the church that he loved. In fact, he loves the church so much that he gives his blood for her. That's why we have to be very careful even when we criticize the church, because this is the bride of Christ. And he loves his church in her local assemblies. And his great goal, you see, is to present the church one day without spot and wrinkle before his Father in glory. And so that's the first reason, the example of Christ. The second reason we bind ourselves to a particular church is the example of the early Christians. They bound themselves to local churches in different vicinities. Pentecost, the birthday of the New Testament church as we know it, is one of the first things that was done is that people bound themselves to local churches. And we read already in Acts 2:42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayer. And that really is a summary, an interesting summary, of people being bonded together in a local church, this steadfast perseverance in the means of grace. Number three, we bind ourselves to a particular church because of apostolic example and practice. I won't take time to read these texts for you, but I'll give them to you. You can look them up when you're home. Acts 13, verses 1 through 4, and Acts 14, 23 through 28. What you can find in these texts, and actually throughout the book of Acts, is that the apostles and the early Christians actively and fervently serve the Lord from within the local church. And from within that local church, they then reached out beyond their boundaries. But there was a home base that we call the local church. And interestingly, you don't read, except for some false believers, you don't read of the early believers distancing themselves from the churches when those churches face problems, shortcomings, challenges. Rather, if you look at Paul's example with the Corinthians only, but also the other churches as well, because almost every epistle he wrote really was designed to address a problem in the local church, Paul's example was that we should become energetically and prayerfully involved to make local churches closer representatives to the New Testament apostolic church and what she was to be in her ideal form. You know, there's the old classic example of the lady, I'm sure you heard of this story, who came to Charles Spurgeon and said, "I can't find a good church." And he said, "Are you looking for a perfect one?" And she said, "Yes." In her, you don't say that to Spurgeon and get away with it. And he said, "Well, don't join it because it won't be perfect anymore." You see, everyone has faults and flaws. So what people do wrongly is when they see a few problems in a church, they say, "Well, I can't handle these problems. I'm off to the next church." Instead of saying, "I want to be an asset to this church to help this church be a more biblical New Testament church." You see, what happens when people run away from problems is they go to another church and they stay there then only as long as they desire. It's all about me, you see. It's not about being bonded to the local church and the church family. And then when some problems come in that church, out of here again. And what happens is they perpetuate that behavior 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and pretty soon their children grow up and don't belong to any church because they've been taught by their parents that no church is good enough. So why bother to go? I spoke with someone just this past week, one of our members, one of the relatives left our church several years ago, and I said, "Is your relative still going to such and such church?" That's the church she went to, and she left here. He hung his head. He said, "No, afraid not. She's been to 3 churches now, and I'm not sure if she's maybe going to another one now." You see, you lose your roots. You lose your commitment. You just don't understand. People like that just don't understand the need to get roots in a local church and see the church as a family. You don't run out of the family. You don't desert your children. You don't desert your spouse. When there's some problems, you stick together in the local church. And you work through problems. You work together to resolve issues. That's what you find in an apostolic example and practice. And that's why in Paul's nearly 10-year ministry in Antioch, as well as his missionary journeys, you never see Paul writing off a church. It's amazing when you look at all the problems in the Corinthian church. I mean, there's seven major problems he addressed in 1 Corinthians. And yet Paul tells them, I love you, I greet you as saints in the Lord. You know, his introduction, very affirmative. Appreciate your ministering to me. At the end, he says, you know, greet the brethren with a holy kiss, and I long to see you again. And isn't it that way in the family, too? Are your kids always perfect? Of course not. Do you go through some crises in families? Of course you do. But you don't kick your kids out of doors. So you can't stay here anymore. Or you don't leave the home and say, you manage it now yourself since we can't get along so well right now. You work through your problems. That is the New Testament pattern. Everything Paul did was connected with local churches. His whole purpose of missionary journeys was to plant churches in different areas. Local churches. Number four, we bind ourselves to a particular church because this is the focus and context of the Christian life. The focus and context of the Christian life. The church ought to be the favorite place we go in this world. We say there's no place like home. We understand what we mean. But there is one place on earth that's better than home. That's the church. That's why I wake my children up every Sunday morning and say, it's our favorite day. We get to go to the house of God today. This is our home. This is the closest home to our heavenly home here on earth, where we meet with the people of God and we worship together the living God and we hear the voice of God coming to us. Because as long as the preaching is consistent with Scripture and God-ordained means, it's God's Word coming to us. And so this conflicts with our stark and startling spirit of unbiblical individualism today. Most Christians today think of Christianity in an individualistic way. But that's not the New Testament way. The New Testament way is always to be thinking in terms of the church. Very few of the epistles are written to individuals. Almost all of them are written to local churches. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. And even the epistles to Timothy and Titus and Philemon were written to leaders of local churches. And the purpose then was to help them govern and guide local churches. So what I'm saying to you is the New Testament knows nothing of believers not being committed to a local church. I told you the time was short this morning and it's up already, but we will continue. I'll just leave it right here and we'll close with prayer and we'll continue with number five next time. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank Thee for the opening class of this season. Thank Thee for Reverend Kuyvenhoven's opening to the group as a whole. And even though we've had very few minutes left to consider the subject at hand, we pray that we've at least gotten our feet wet this morning and that we can take something with us home to meditate upon, and that in the coming weeks, Thou wilt bless us as we teach in this class, and that we will have a better and better grasp of this particular subject, how important it is to motivate our families to church commitment. We ask thy benediction upon us, and please go with us further this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.